Welcome inside the classroom. It's time for your weekly smart look at sports. We are live from the Marist College Center for Sports Communication in Poughkeepsie. My name is Jeff Brault. I'm joined by Dr. Keith Strudler. He runs this place. We've also got Matt, Anna, and Mike hanging out. A couple of interns who, despite the fact that school is not in session, have decided to show up anyway. And Keith Strudler, that is exactly the kind of dedication that we respect.
That's not just respect, I think require. Because there's a lot of new interns that are now that want to be involved next semester, and there's a lot of stuff that's going to be going on. We got this new, I probably shouldn't do my internal business here on air. We got to do this new UNU blog for swarm intelligence. And the sensor project's killing me. We're all going to be walking around with body-worn sensors, so enjoy that. So I got a bunch of projects, and then, of course, you know, we got the big kahuna, the big soiree on April 20th with Hannah Storm, and that's going great.
Now, for people that might be uninitiated, the classroom is basically produced and driven by students here at Marist College, right? Interns in the center. And like you mentioned, new semester coming up, and that means there's going to be a new crop of folks.
Yes.
As Mike Wallace said when he walked in here this morning, we got to have Matt produce the show because, quote, what's going to happen when I'm gone?
And by the way, like he is the British spy, Michael Steele. Michael Steele?
Michael Steele's the former chair
of the
RNC. Republican National.
It's what is it? Something Steele. The British spy who's gone underground.
Yes, he has. He has. Now, we'll talk about that in a second.
I'm fascinated.
Because you can't wait to pretend that the thing that I said is your idea.
What is
but
that?
That's fine. I was the one who told you that this whole thing's like the plot of a Bond movie, and now you can't get over it. Now you're like, what would happen in the movie?
You didn't say that.
I was the one who said it to you specifically, and
know.
Then you go, yes, that's right.
That is a revisionist history.
Allow me to dig back through my text messages. I'll read it to you word for word.
We'll find it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll find it.
What do we got for crop of interns next semester?
Well, there's a bunch of people that want to be involved. And so here's the way I see the weed out process. So I'm not going to name any names yet. There's a couple names you may not be happy with. That's fine. But
me? I won't know any of these people.
No, you won't. You literally won't. Half of them you never know anyway, because if they're not involved in the radio show, you have no idea they are.
Correct.
And then there's
a
bunch.
Do you still know who I am?
Listen, Mike.
but secondly, there's so many people in the studio, it sounds like we have an audience. Like people, you know, it's like we have a studio.
That
audience.
Was Matt, by the way. There is a Mike. That was Matt who asked if I know who he is.
Yes,
I know his name's Matt.
I got the joke.
Yes. His last name, of course, Taylor.
Zhutkovich.
I'm sure I was close.
Yeah,
what was it?
Super
Zhutkovich.
That's a great last name to have in about 6 days.
Also, yes, I was about to say, also now on our watch list. By the way, Anna, could you tweet out? We're not doing the video stream this week.
No,
but we are going to be doing. We do have the audio stream because we could tweet out that link. So if you're listening in Russia, you could. Well, actually, they probably.
Do svidaniya.
They probably have a. They probably. I'm sure we're on the censor list right there. So I've got a bunch of students that are emailing like, hey, I want to be involved. Can I join this? Blah blah blah. And here's my theory. I'm not going to respond to any of these emails.
See who wants it.
You got to find, like, this is like a secret club. I'm not going to put a sign out in the door. You want to eat at my secret restaurant? You want to come to the nightclub where all the cool people are? Find it.
You know, I found out about this internship through a broad email that was sent to me in September.
I did that. Okay. Yeah, I sent that. That I think
do
I.
A sweeping recruiter.
Well, I'm not going to answer everyone's email when I can do it all with one email. And that email is going to say, come get some. If you want it, if you want to do this. You got to do it.
They have no clue what they're getting themselves into, though, when they start to work with this man.
Just chaos.
It's a mess. And so then they're like, why did I start?
Janie Pearson, she just she wrote me and said, she said she wanted to talk about something, which I can't talk about on the air. But she, I mean, not that it's personal. I mean, that sounded much worse
than
this.
I know what it is.
but that's a.
So a young girl emailed you, said we need to talk, and you can't talk about it publicly. Continue. I don't really give a crap that the Chargers are moving to Los Angeles anymore. I feel like we have bigger fish to fry.
But she's like, I really miss sitting around in the Center for Sports Comm hearing your great stories. So how about that?
That was anticlimactic.
Yeah. So at any rate, so there'll be a new crop. We'll have a big meeting this week. I'm going to the Knicks game Thursday, by the way.
Okay.
Sitting in a box.
You want a medal? 19,000 other people will also be
there. Well, they're not going to be sitting in a luxury box, are they?
Some of them will be.
A very small number. A very small number.
You won't go to a sporting event if you don't. If you're not sitting in a luxury box. You won't sit amongst the people.
That's actually not true. I actually will go to I will watch any sporting event. I'm going to Cornell Columbia on Saturday.
Okay.
I went to
a Lightning game over a break. Sure. And it was actually really fun. They have real lightning in the arena. They have two rods in the corners of the arena.
What could go wrong?
No, I'm serious, right? Like, you look up and there's just lightning.
Excuse me, that's Octavius.
Do they have lightning generators and they play a lot of Thunderstruck?
They have this big organ. Yeah. They have a big organ right in the. Well, because what you realize is
Thunderstruck's
a
great sports song.
Oh, yeah. It totally
that's a great
is.
Song.
Varsity Blues.
Yeah. That's a terrible movie, but a great song.
Oh, no, it's a great movie.
Great movie.
You're kidding.
You don't like Varsity Blues. You like Blades of Glory, but not Varsity Blues.
Yes, Varsity Blues was the movie that they made to be Friday Night Lights when they couldn't come to a contractual agreement to actually make Friday Night Lights. So some hose heads were like, we'll make a movie like that. And it was a joke.
It was great. It was a great
John
movie.
John Voight, come on.
Great movie.
That was
John
a joke.
Great.
Who's with me? That was a joke.
Don't you take that needle. I don't want your life.
That's a great. What's his face?
James Vanderbeek.
From Dawson Blue or Dawson Creek.
Dawson Creek.
He's the quarterback.
Yeah.
I respect him.
Paul Walker is the original quarterback. The one who gets hurt.
I know.
Yeah. Allie Larder in the whipped cream bikini. Come on.
Love it.
Come on.
Classic.
The movie is awful. It's an awful movie. And Friday Night Lights is a great movie. It's a great movie. Speaking of which, I know you don't want me to talk. I just got through Last Chance U. Loved it.
Yeah, Last Chance U on Netflix was great.
No, it was great.
Welcome to 6 months ago.
Well, you get there when you get there. This is not a race.
You would have lost.
I need a new Netflix show. Go ahead and tweet at us at ESPN_classroom. If you have a new show for me to pick up on. I'm still working my way through House of Cards. We do like one a month. It's really killing me.
Did you watch Stranger Things?
No.
Okay, now that one goes quick. It's good, though.
Are you a sci-fi person?
Westworld.
It's not super sci-fi, though. Like,
probably not. I don't think we're going. I don't think this is going to work for me. It's got. I'm ideally looking for something that Andre would watch as well.
So, comedy, drama, like, what are you thinking?
Dramatic, more dramatic.
Are you Game of Thrones people?
No. Mm-hmm. I don't like period pieces.
Okay. Sherlock.
Again, that's kind of a period piece.
It's a modern a modern take on it without it being weird.
Don't like Pierce. So the Crown is out.
No, exactly. I don't look.
Probably not Orange is the New Black. Then maybe a little too comedic.
I've watched that. She watches that. Andre watches that. Mm. It doesn't work that much for me.
I mean, I really think House of Cards is probably your best bet at this
point.
Well,
Billions to me was the
returning soon.
When is it coming?
February, I believe.
We'll have Patrick McEnroe on when it comes on.
Homeland returns this weekend.
Yeah, I should have gotten into Homeland. I've never gotten into it. I think I'd like it a lot.
Highly recommend it.
Great.
But I have to go all the way back to the beginning now.
That's fine. The first two seasons were great. The third season, less so. And then it got good again the last few.
But I need to. But I think I'm going to have to get. I'm just going to have to go back and pick this up. Because I think I'd really like it. Now, so what I end up doing a lot when I just have time to kill, I end up watching just old episodes of Portlandia, which is one of my favorite shows.
Fred Armisen. Now, let's be honest, though. Do you really need to turn to the world of entertainment to find mystery, international intrigue,
murder,
life and death decisions, Russian ladies of ill repute?
Who, I mean, we and I we say this kind of jokingly, and a lot of our meetings seem to end up, can I say this on the air? What, dead hookers?
Whoa.
But I'm saying,
well, first of all, any law enforcement people that may be listening right now, the views of Keith Strawler do not represent the rest of us.
But I'm just saying, that's like that's one of those kind of poor taste humor jokes that they don't. And but the reality is we are dealing now with Russian prostitutes that no one has found out where they are potentially.
No. And we should mention, this is our last ever episode during the Obama administration.
That's true. Wow.
We began in September 2012? This 2013.
3 years ago. This program has only known one president.
Correct. And this is our final Obama show.
So now we'll be entering the allegedly, the Trump era.
Does anyone know how to say class is in session in Russian?
But so what? Here's the thing. I love. So you believe, well, I'll check, verify this during break. You believe that it was your idea that this is following the plot of a James Bond movie. I'll take you at your word, but even though it's not inherently.
Because it's correct.
It's not true. But that's fine. All right. So this thing, like, is literally a James Bond movie, though.
Yes.
You have a British spy. We'll call him James Bond. His last name is actually Steele. But Steele's actually a good spy name.
Christopher
Steele. Steel, that's a tough name. Like Christopher Steele.
It's like salt. It's like.
It's a tough
name. You
know,
Salt. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
Great movie.
What do you guys think of Stone Phillips? I brought this up the other day.
I think Stone Phillips is a heck of a newscaster in 1996.
But he's a strong. Like, Stone's a strong name.
Oh, it's a very strong name.
Stone. That was actually on the table for Sloan.
Hmm.
Because we were going
with the name that rhymes with Stone.
Well, we were going. It was going to be an S. It was going to be an S. And so Stone.
It was going to end in own.
It's true. I didn't realize how similar they are. It's really just a one letter shift is what you're looking at. But Stone is much stronger.
I don't know. Imagine all the jokes that poor guy got, like middle school, high school.
Well, the joke's on them because he's a rock star. And so, but Stone Phillips, like, that's a strong name. But so Christopher Steele, also a strong name. He's literally a spy. And look, whether you believe this or not, there's this outside chance that he is the linchpin between having a Russian mole in the White House in our semi-fictional world, right? I understand that's not comforting to anyone, but as a movie plot, come on, right? So this guy has gone underground. He's got 10 days to save the fate of the world, which in the movie version, I'm not saying the real version, could potentially end in a nuclear holocaust, right? That's where you, right? And the only way this is all going to come to, because now you've got the Brits, the Russians, and the Americans all going after this Christopher Steele. Obviously, the Americans and the Russians want him dead at this point. The Brits are the only ones trying to save him.
Depends on the faction of Americans.
Exactly.
The Americans are split now.
But the Brits are trying. The Brits, as they always are in the James Bond world, the Brits are always the good guys. They're the ones that save the world, right? Is there, now, in our movie, is there a subplot where someone high up in the British government is trying to shut down the spy
program? Oh, definitely. You know there's an older man, you know, white hair, bald, sitting behind a desk. It's too dangerous. We can't take the risk. And you are meddling with affairs that you do not understand.
It's Judi Dench. Judd.
Well, no.
Mike said it. Mike said it.
Judi Dench, of course, plays M in Bond.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, I understand where you're going on that, where there's the kind of that voice of reason that wants everyone to stay. I'm talking about the young up-and-coming bureaucrat who wants to reform the way that Britain is doing their intelligence and thinks this whole spy program is dated.
Possible, yeah. So there's nothing we can't do with a computer.
Yes, exactly. So he's trying to pull Christopher Steele off. Like, they're trying to, he's like, look, he's dead to me.
Your time has passed,
yes.
Steele.
And Steele now is underground. You got the Russians, the Americans, and maybe the Brits looking for him, and he literally is the guy who has to find the missing tape, right? The missing tape.
We don't know that it's missing. It's very possible that the people that have it know very well where it is, but he needs to find it.
He's got to find it, but he's going to have – and you got to figure this chase is going to take him through Mexico City, as we talked about last
– Istanbul.
During some sort of, like, Day of the Dead celebration.
Well, of course.
In the middle of it. Yeah.
Of course. And there's going to be a huge explosion that will bring down half the city, which they'll blame on some kind of seismic shift or something like that.
I could see this one running through Southeast Asia.
Oh, absolutely. Vietnam.
Bangkok.
But it has to be a chaotic scene through Bangkok. They have to be going through a market.
Oh, they'll be on Vespas.
This is a great movie, though, is it not? Vespas are a great part of the Bond. Well, one guy's on a Vespa. Another guy's in, like, a Lamborghini, right? And he's just tearing through, like, the duck markets and everything. You know, it's chaos.
Somehow they're still, like, the same.
It's never entirely light, but it's never entirely dark. It's always in a kind of a shade of gray.
Well, it's about to rain. It's the rainy season over there.
They're knocking over, like, spices and,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hookahs everywhere.
You know, some guy just finished arranging his orange stand, and he was like, I got this perfect. Let's sell some oranges. And then the Vespa rolls through. Just oranges everywhere.
He starts cursing them out in some other language.
Do chickens start flying at some point? The chickens start flying because they're in cage.
Of course.
Oh, and then there's always like cars crossing, and then he has to slide under them. But it's not even like it's like a rickshaw or something like that.
Nobody's injured.
No, there's going to be some casualties because that's what Steele's boss on the inside, who's the only one who knows where I am, which is the Judi Dench figure. She calls him and she says, maybe you could tone it down next time.
You're out too far on a limb, Steele. We can't protect you.
And so Steele obviously has some love interest in this.
Melania Trump.
Well, Melania Trump is clearly who he has a passionate moment with, right? He has a passionate moment with.
Sure, when Steele was doing that op in Slovenia back when he was a 22-year-old hotshot straight out of military school.
That's sometime later in the film it turns into Ivanka Trump.
Oh,
I had not considered that.
See, I always figured Ivanka Trump and her husband were like the henchmen behind the henchmen. You know, the true evil.
Yeah.
Like you have your figurehead of the evil corp.
Oh, it might be like one of those things where Kushner gets with Ivanka Trump and then she ends up being the main villain.
Oh, that could be. Yeah. No, yeah, but, that could be.
Oh, that she could. No, but I think Kushner is the main villain.
You're like 30 minutes from the end of the movie and they finally get what they think is the bad guy and then somebody else comes in the room and they're like, ha ha ha.
I got a serious question. In our fictional crazy movie idea. I hope we're not offending too many listeners right now. We are fictionalizing. But based on a true story, we're fictionalizing. But is there any chance that into the room, as kind of a mastermind, walks in Hillary Clinton?
Oh, petting a white cat.
She's finally come to get her revenge. Like after
all these years. She's been behind this the whole time. The leaks came from inside the house. She is the one.
She hacked her own email.
She threw the election to get this guy in the White House because she's working for the Kremlin.
That can be the only logical explanation.
That's the way this is getting. And it all goes back to Bill Clinton. It all goes back to his days at Bill Clinton.
Yes, Bill. Bill's just like.
I'm not. It's not impossible.
Class is in session. We're going to do a sports show after this. Stay tuned. You're on Fox 1220. Welcome back in the classroom, your weekly smart look at sports. I'm Jeff, he's Keith, Mike, Matt, and Anna, also hanging out this morning. We are a sports show, in case you missed it. Coming up on the program this morning, we're going to talk about the Chargers relocating from San Diego to Los Angeles, and then a whole bunch of new or revamped leagues and tournaments cropping up across the sports world this week. We've got the potential for a four-team, essentially post-high school, pre-NFL professional football league. We've got the potential for a three-on-three basketball league. Allen Iverson's involved in that. And then the World Cup is expanding. Mike Wallace, a little bleary-eyed this morning. He woke up early to watch soccer. So
is that true?
Yeah, 7 in the morning.
Tottenham Hotspur, 4-0. 7 in the morning. Inhuman.
Inhuman. Ran 0 miles. I mean, sat on my couch, watched some soccer.
7 a.m. Only half the world was up.
So we'll get Mike's opinion on an expanded World Cup. Whether it's good or bad for one of the premier sporting events on the planet.
The sun had barely cracked the horizon.
If you want to know more about the classroom or perhaps contribute your ideas, maybe some casting suggestions about our movie rip from the headlines about an MI6 agent who's got information on the president-elect of the United States, log on to Facebook.
Who plays Hillary?
That would be a casting decision. Log on to Facebook. ESPN The Classroom. Also tweet at us at ESPN_Classroom.
Who plays Hillary?
Kate McKinnon.
I don't know who that is.
Saturday Night Live. She does the Hillary on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, no.
That's a great Hillary.
She does a great Hillary.
She can't do like a dramatic Hillary.
Dramatic Hillary. I'm going to go Helen Mirren.
That's not a bad call.
Yeah.
She's she feels great too in British, spy though. Movies.
She is British.
But
she's a great actress. Here's the thing about actors. They pretend.
Not all actors. Some actors just play themselves. Like, for example,
Christopher Walken.
Well, I was going to say, Jimmy V. Like, he only plays himself in movies.
Jimmy V? Jim Valvano?
Not Valvano. Oh, my God.
Jimmy V?
Not Jimmy V. Oh, my God. I'm having a...
Jim Carrey?
The broadcaster. Sports writer, basketball sports broadcast. College basketball for ESPN.
Dickie V. Dickie V's not an actor.
I know, but when he is an actor, he only plays himself. Well, he was in Hoop Dreams.
Okay.
But you're not acting if you're playing yourself.
He has a SAG card.
As you doing what you do. He's in a movie
right.
at that point.
But he's an actor because he's got a SAG card, I'm sure, and he's got credits in a movie, but he always plays himself.
Who would play Trump, Alec Baldwin?
Yeah, because I think he could go dramatic.
Yeah.
He has
gone
dramatic.
Of course he can. Alec Baldwin's a great actor.
Yeah. I think of him more as a comedic.
Did you watch Match Game? I like Match Game.
Yes.
Who do you want as your Christopher Steele, as your spy, as your male lead?
I really don't know the acting world, but I mean, you guys are far more into kind of popular culture and movies.
So what are you picturing?
Who I like? Very handsome. He's in La La Land.
Ryan Gosling.
I think Ryan Gosling is ready to make that move into...
I don't know if he's got the grittiness. I don't know if he's got the toughness.
But he is kind of imperfectly gorgeous. Like, he's not Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper...
Yeah, I don't think he's got the toughness either.
No, Bradley Cooper does not. Bradley Cooper doesn't... Bradley Cooper is, like, perfect. He's gorgeous, right? Ryan Gosling is incredibly handsome, but he's not perfect in that same way. I don't think he's symmetrical.
I don't look as Christopher Steele as like your suave kind of James Bond style spy. I look at him as more of
a rough,
like an analyst, you know. But I think he's got, you know, he's forced into life
on
the run. So I'm thinking like a Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Well, how about like a Ben Affleck?
No, too old. I think. I think you want to go a little younger.
How about like Iron Man? What's
Robert
his name?
Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr.
Mom,
he's got such range.
Or Mark Ruffalo.
Wow, I do like Mark Ruffalo a lot. God, but he's so. But you really want a guy who's a little rough around the edges.
You do a little bit, but I think Ruffalo. I think you could rough him up a little bit. I think you could Ruffalo him up.
That's an interesting call. So you're looking for less. Kind of really handsome and more kind of everyday.
A little bit,
nerdy.
Yeah. A little everyman, you know, guy who's kind of a desk jockey a little bit, but he got himself in too deep.
Like an Edward Snowden kind of guy.
A little Snowden-ish, yeah, but, you know, less smarmy.
What? Oh, boy. What about Mark Wahlberg?
To
Boston?
Yeah, a little too, like, tough guy, you know?
Well, Leo, like, all in, just Leo.
Well, Leo can play everything. He's... actors of the generation.
Leo would actually be good in this role.
He could be good in this role.
This could be the defining role of his career.
Yeah, take that, Titanic.
But this could actually
be other Leo movie, like, ever, pretty much.
This could actually be the role of his life. This could be
Be. To be fair, any role could be the
because
role.
Because honestly, 20 years ago, this would have been Tom Hanks.
Yeah?
This would have been Tom Hanks' role.
But, I don't know. Tom Hanks, when he was younger, didn't really give off that vibe.
But isn't that...
He didn't give off the Vespa chase through the streets of Bangkok.
No, but
vibe.
Neither do any of these guys that you're realistic. See, I think Robert Downey Jr. might be able to do it.
He might be able to do it. I like that choice.
And he might actually bring kind of a little smarm to it, like a little
yeah, a little sarcasm. He's a little whip smart. A little witty repartee. Yeah, no, I like it.
That's it. Get Robert Downey Jr.'s agent on the phone, and we'll pitch it.
Luckily, as a sports show.
Yes.
Luckily... Los Angeles, Tinseltown, Hollywood is in the news this week.
Yes.
San Diego Chargers relocating. They're now the second team in Los Angeles. So go ahead, Keith Charlotte. Tell everybody your favorite headline of the week. Favorite headline of the week.
When you say it like that, it's so annoying.
Let them know what you love so much.
Time out.
Time out.
Andra says Ryan Gosling is perfect.
Oh, he is. No, that's the problem. Ryan Gosling is perfect. I mean, that is a fine specimen of man.
Well, how about I think him and Emma Stone together.
Oh, it's magic. It's magic.
The
chemistry lights up the screen.
She is, and I didn't believe this at first, she is gorgeous. She's unbelievable.
They don't put a lot of ugly people in movies.
No, but she's a special kind of gorgeous. She's in the Scarlett Johansson kind of.
Oh, I disagree with that. I'm sorry, I do. I like Emma Stone. I like Emma Stone. I do, but...
No, she's
in
that.
I can't agree.
You like Scarlett Johansson that much.
I do.
That's like a weak spot.
And that's it for Locker Room Talk this week.
So the best headline this week was from the New York Times. It said, congratulations, L.A., you now have two terrible football teams. I thought that was really, because that was a city that had nothing. I mean, and almost.
Well, to be fair, they had quite a bit, but no professional football teams. Right.
Well, they had one. It was USC. But they did not have a they did not have a professional football team, and it almost seemed as if they were a little proud of that. As if they said, we don't need you that much.
I don't know if they were necessarily proud of it. I just feel like everything else in L.A., they didn't care. It seems like a city of apathy to me. And I haven't spent a ton of time in L.A. I've only spent maybe a week there in my life. It seems like no one in that city can be bothered about anything.
I don't know if that's entirely true, but there are also some – I mean, yes, like any other city – like Los Angeles, when there's a lot of other things to do and you have a lot of transplants, sports is not going to be inherently high up on the hierarchy, right? And this is true whether you're talking about Atlanta, whether you're talking about Tampa, Miami. These cities almost inherently have institutional problems that perhaps these kind of older northeastern Midwestern cities don't have, where you have people that have lived there for generations, where the teams are highly entrenched. And let's take a city like Cleveland. Nothing else to do.
Yeah, I mean, how much of that comes down to identity, right? I mean, like, if you're from New York, you have other things to grab onto as a New York identity. If you're from Green Bay, you pretty much got the Packers.
But New York, look, New York, no team will ever leave New York because there's no economy like
New
York.
No, of course.
But New York is actually different, though. New York, most sports fans actually care deeply, and there's so many people that are from New York. Those teams mean something. There's people that are generational Giants and even Jets fans, and certainly Yankees fans. You don't see that in L.A. How many people are like, I grew up on the Rams? They don't care.
Oh, no, not at all.
They don't care. They do not identify with those teams. Most of the people in L.A., I don't know about most, but a vast percentage seems like do not come from L.A. They moved to L.A., and they don't necessarily have family roots in L.A. I mean, this was Atlanta's problem all along. Atlanta's a mega city at this point. It's a huge city. Houston's had some of the same problems. Houston was a city. Houston, the Oilers left, and no one cared because the majority of the city at that point had come recently from other places. They came in the real estate and oil boom in the late 70s and 80s. And all those people that joined and got behind Love You Blue really didn't care that much about Love You Blue. And so I think L.A. kind of dealt with that reality. They realized they could live without the NFL. And as the NFL became more and more a televised commodity, you didn't need it.
The Chargers moving to Los Angeles is this morning's big story. Now, normally at this point in the program, we like to play our beautifully produced segment intro music to get you set for the big story. But whether it was Mike, Matt, or Anna, we don't know which. We do not have it. Definitely wasn't me. We know that, Mike.
Well, because you don't do anything other than sit behind that mic.
It's not my job. My job is to drive the bus and look good.
You want us to sing it?
Anna, yes, as you know, when you fail to be prepared to have the segment intro, it is you have to then provide it in some other way.
But if we're going to have three people singing this at once.
Well, we don't need three people.
We don't need three.
Once they can fight amongst themselves.
It can be two.
Fourth,
but do you know the different parts? I want you to sing Oliver's version of it.
I can't. Think of it quickly.
It's
here
not
we go.
In my head. I got to do the old.
The version. Chargers are moving to Los Angeles. That's this morning's big story.
The big story.
See, it wasn't good. I wanted. What's the one where someone starts singing Major Tom?
Grades of the Week.
Girl, that's great.
That's going to be tough later.
Yeah.
There's a lot of production elements in that one. Stay tuned, folks. Second hour of the classroom. Grades of the Week. 56 seasons San Diego Chargers existed. And now they're moving to L.A.
And they were one of the early AFL teams, correct? That was a city, kind of an ideal AFL city, a rising American city that wasn't going to be part of the original NFL landscape, that were primarily kind of major East Coast and some Midwestern cities. So,
great city. Definitely a second-tier city, but a great city.
Second-tier city that is – it's a convention town.
I actually like second-tier cities. I do. Oh, I like the smaller
we're
cities.
We're kind of a second-tier radio show.
I like the small, scrappy underdog cities.
But they're only,
you know, they got a lot of things going for them. They got the beach. They got great weather.
But they're only second tier in some regards. In some cases, they're first class.
Well, weather.
Weather, beach. Everyone who lives there is a multimillionaire.
Not true. It's a Navy town.
If you're not in the military. Have you ever priced a house in San Diego proper?
Well,
I'm sure you have.
I actually have.
I know you have because you've done this in probably every.
I actually have.
When you have nothing else to do.
San Diego is so gorgeous.
Let me just go on Trulia.
San Diego is so gorgeous that the first time that I went, I was walking around downtown, and you pass like a real estate office, and they've got all the pictures in the window of all the properties you could buy. And I'm walking around like, why do I not live here? This place is amazing. And then I looked at the window, and I'm like, that's why.
I bet you you look at almost every real estate. Like, when you walk, I don't think you could keep yourself from looking at one of those.
No. It depends where I am. There's only certain places where I would want to live that I've traveled to.
I'll tell you,
San Diego's one. Charleston is another. Savannah, Georgia.
My town is hopping right now.
Savannah.
Beacon.
That's a good pick.
Beacon right now for all you. Beacon is hopping
right
now.
It absolutely is.
It is hopping.
It absolutely is.
I mean, there's another restaurant. The new Beacon Hotel.
The hotel, yes.
Have you eaten there
on the ground floor? Is it open? I don't know
if it's open
yet.
It's open, and it's crowded.
Ooh, I'd like to get in there.
It's crowded.
Because they have the chef from The Hop.
Yes, yes. It's crowded.
Oh, I got to get in there.
Oh, it looks good.
I still haven't gone to Kitchen Sink either. I got to do
I
that.
I haven't gone there either. And it's, you know, because we have our rotation. I went to the crepe place last night and, you know, it's Taco Tuesday. Have you been to Royal Crepes?
No.
Royal Crepes is good.
I like a good crepery.
Oh, no, it's good. The Royal Crepes is good. It's real casual.
What kind of crepe you get?
I actually got a burek.
What's that?
It's kind of like a... It's kind of like an Eastern European version of spanakopita almost.
Ah, good time to get into Eastern European cuisine.
How much of this movie that we pose in the first part of this the show is going to be happening in Eastern Europe? Because Bond movies have moved a lot to Latin America.
I honestly don't necessarily think a whole lot. I don't think a whole lot.
Where do you think he's gone underground? You know what I think? I think an untapped, because they've really gone heavy into Latin South America in some of the recent Bond films. We haven't seen a lot in Africa, have we? I feel like this is the time.
Mm, this could be the time.
Because you're trying to go underground.
But this one doesn't really work well in Africa. So much hinges on cyber and digital, and that just doesn't really exist there.
I hear you. But I just feel like that's an untapped. You know, he's going underground.
If you're trying to hide something, Africa seems like a good place.
It's interesting. And there's, you know, there's a lot of corrupt dictators there. There could be a tie.
What do you think about the Chargers in Los Angeles?
So, look, California is one of probably the most challenging state to get a new stadium built. They just don't do it. They won't vote for it.
Well, that's part of, if not all of the reason why San Diego's leaving. Yep. Dean Spanos has basically tried every way he could think of to get a new stadium
for the last 15 years. It's much harder, and they won't. The public referendums never go through.
And they voted down the last referendum, the one that occurred in November. They voted it down by a huge margin, 57-43.
Yeah.
Look, that is a huge margin.
These in almost every other state either pass or they circumvent the public referendums and just have the city council vote it through.
Like in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and they put some tax on hotel rooms. You know, for all the people that go like to visit Milwaukee.
Right.
So they figure out ways to get the stadiums through. They can't do that in California. It'll cost politicians their job.
Yes.
And California, which for all the jokes, has one of the – I just saw a report. It's like, you know, like the fifth largest economy in the world.
It is. It is. No, it's true.
It's crazy. And so they don't need the stadiums. They don't need – they're not Milwaukee. They don't need the teams. And so that has been a recurring problem for every team in California, Raiders obviously included. All these
who are probably about to leave.
And where they go?
Vegas.
That's right. And they're going to Vegas if they can get that built, you know. And that's kind of the big thing there. But the teams that have been successful in California, or the cities that have been successful, have used an enormous amount of private equity to make it happen, which is not what we've seen around the country. So I'm not surprised that the Chargers are leaving. And look, it makes a lot of sense. You're only 2 hours away. So the reality is you can, unlike some of these other moves, kind of keep your fan base. I think they're going to need to, because I don't think L.A., despite the fact that it is, you know, the nation's second largest city and technically is big enough for two teams, I don't think it's actually big enough for two teams. I don't think there's enough fans to support two professional football teams when they had none. I don't care how many people live in that city. So they're going to need some of San Diego's support to make this happen. I've seen some interesting discourse, though, about the move, was that as much as this is a statement about San Diego, per se, and about Californian stadiums, it's as much a testimonial about the health, or in some cases, the relative lack thereof, of the NFL proper. That the NFL is having to shuffle its deck to make this thing work. And that's an interesting dynamic, that the NFL now is having to play kind of a, you know, musical chairs to reinvigorate their franchise.
Yeah, but don't you think they're only doing that because a favorite saying of us here in the classroom, how much money is enough money? More money. Mm-hmm. And the NFL has gotten to such a point where to grow beyond the ridiculous sums of money that they're making, they have to come up with very outside-the-box ways of doing so. Look at the stadium that's being built in Atlanta. Look at what Stan Kroenke's doing.
That thing looks great.
In Los Angeles.
Looks great.
I mean, this is now
what's
being required to make money in professional sports, and they wouldn't do that for Dean Spanos, who is not among the richest NFL owners. Dean Spanos is the guy who buys the team, and that's his main asset. He's not like the Mark Cuban, who's
part of his portfolio,
wealthy,
yeah.
And owns a basketball
team.
Yeah.
No, he's an actual owner. It's like, what do you do for a living? Oh, I own a
right.
sports team.
Right.
And he buys it pennies on the dollar, yeah. and now he got
so
rich.
So I don't know if it necessarily speaks to the viability and the financial health of the NFL. Doesn't it just sort of speak to the fact that once you make a certain amount of money on the regular, to grow that becomes really hard?
It becomes really hard, but I think you're almost in some cases then inviting a certain amount of instability.
I think you are.
And I think there is the fact that the amount of money that they're generating through San Diego was not enough to keep this train rolling, I think is potentially a dangerous place for the NFL. Because let's look at that the next possible step. What if television networks start saying, you know what, I don't know that it's worth as much. And particularly one of their biggest cash cows, ESPN, is about to go through some major overhauls.
I mean, I think you're right. It's going to happen. Cord cutting. How many people out there are abandoning their cable packages? But less than that, how many people out there are keeping their cable packages solely for sports? It's a lot of people that keep it just for live sports.
They are. They're keeping it for live sports, but none of us know what that future landscape is going to look like.
It's not going to be through cable. I mean, eventually,
it's going to be through an internet-based.
There's going to be a way.
Right.
There's going to be a way to get away from cable, and that's going to decimate the rights fees.
They're already prototyping this stuff, right. And so I understand they're looking for more money, but I worry about a league, in some cases, that is so desperate for capital right now that they're disbanding some of their long-standing markets to chase kind of these extra dollars to be able to make payroll, to be able to do what they're doing. I just think in some cases they need to be – I don't think it's smart to have two teams in one city when there's another city down the road that wanted them. I think that is – I think that's a good short-term strategy and a bad long-term one.
Well, the city wants the Chargers, no doubt, but the owner of the Chargers, Dean Spanos, wants PSL fees. He wants the new stadium. I mean, we're at the point in this country where the shelf life of a stadium is 20 years.
Thank you, Atlanta, for making that happen.
Exactly. The Braves baseball stadium, and now it's everybody. The Texas Rangers have a 20-year-old
stadium.
Orlando
didn't help with that either when they had their basketball team. Their basketball team was an expansion franchise. And that's, they need a new stadium. And so this has – it is if we did this with our houses, I mean, think about the number of people that are listening now that live in a house that's older than half the stadiums in the league. It is really, really problematic. And there is no answer for that because you can't build a stadium that is predictive of future needs. I mean, no one would have said 25 years ago, we better make sure this thing can handle the Wi-Fi capability.
Right,
I mean,
we better make sure fans can order concessions from their cell phones.
Exactly. So you can't future-proof a stadium. All you can do is build nice seats and, good roof and good sight lines. Everything else is in the wash. And it's only places like New York City, where you just can't build a new stadium because you just can't rebuild in New York City.
Put in New Jersey.
And that's what you do. Well, and the only one, look at how hard it was to build that arena in Brooklyn.
Right.
I mean, it was like moving land and earth to get the Barclays Center built.
Well, and they still have issues with it because you can't watch a hockey game
and
enjoy it.
But in fact, not to tie back to our first segment, it only happened because the Brits came in.
And the Nets are owned by a Russian.
Wait a minute. It all makes sense. Get Sussman on the phone. What if
Sussman's a sleeper agent.
What if he's in on this? Gary Sussman, former vice president of PR for the Nets, Marist adjunct professor, good friend of the Center for Sportscom. What if Suss?
He is a sleeper.
Or,
I mean...
no, what if Suss got fired because he knew too much? He was getting a little too close.
Well, granted, if he knew too much, he wouldn't have gotten fired. They would have dealt with that other ways.
Mike's saying they would have bumped him off.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
He would have been disappeared.
Well, here's my – Now, you know what I care about more than anything in the world.
Money.
No, me.
Celebrity.
Me, myself. My personal
– I would put that third. I would actually think you care more about money and fame than you do you.
Andre did ask me why I think it's so cool to meet famous people, and I just didn't know how to answer that question.
Here's the thing. You don't even think it's cool to meet famous people. You just think it's cool that famous people know who you are.
Well, that's it. That's it.
You don't ever want to meet them. I'm sure you want to meet them, but you don't care if you meet them. If you had a choice between never meeting Ryan Gosling or knowing that Ryan Gosling knows who Keith Strudler is, you would choose the latter.
Oh, well, if Ryan Gosling – look, if I know in my heart that Ryan Gosling – watched the piece I did for PBS and was like, that guy's got it going on. It's a great.
That's a real humble opinion.
And if he's like, I'm going to check out his stuff, his work on WAMC. If I knew that, I mean, I'm ready. I can die now.
You would rather that than you like bump into him in a coffee shop and be like, hey, Ryan, it's very nice to meet you.
No, I want Ryan.
I know.
Yeah. Who doesn't want that?
I think regular people, as much as I'm sure they would be fine with that, don't care the way you care. Because to your wife's point, why do you care so much?
It's just cool. It's cool. Speaking of famous people.
So are koalas.
I'd like to meet a koala. Speaking of famous people, James Brown will be here on February 6th, 5 p.m.
The soul singer?
Well, let me tell you what. I've pulled a lot of rabbits out of my hat to get great speakers here to campus. If I got that guy here on campus talking, please. Then I can start calling myself Jesus.
Speaking of famous people, I met Tim Tebow over the break.
Whoa. Interesting. Yeah. Tim Tebow.
I'll
tell you what. I want to hear that story. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and find out how Anna met Tim Tebow. Stay tuned. More of The Classroom ahead here on Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. Grab a cocktail. We're back in the classroom. Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio.
I'm
Jeff Brohl.
No, it was the way you asked
the question. No, you got to learn. You got to follow along.
Keith Strudler, Anna Grzulis.
Now I'm
Mike
not going to tell
Matt.
It.
Well, so here's what happened. So Anna's bragging about all the famous people she met while she's at the National College Football Championship and down in Tampa where I was supposed to be, but I was at a bowling party doing my parental responsibilities.
You had fun.
I did have a good time. I bowled. I was wearing my new skinny pants that I talked about last week. They felt good. And so I they look great. We did a whole thing about what I was going to wear to my kid's birthday party on the air last week.
I'm sure it was riveting.
It was great radio.
I wouldn't say we.
So
Marconi Award on deck.
So Anna's down there, and she's at an ESPN party. And she's hanging out with the guy who does the Dr. Pepper commercials, a big star. And she's hanging out with Tim Tebow, and she's hanging out with Tony Siragusa. Right?
What was Tim Tebow? First of all, before you get into what was Tim Tebow, like, how did you find yourself in this situation?
So I was visiting a friend whose father is one of the chiefs of Tampa Police Department. So 3 years ago when college football playoff decided to go to Tampa, he was in charge of all the security so he did all of the planning with ESPN security,
sure.
You know,
he's
college
hiding
football.
The
you
dead
know,
bodies.
We got right. Like, and he's done security for the Lightning. He did security for the Super Bowl when they hosted it in Tampa. He did it for the Bucks for a while. So.
I know this guy. He's a Marist grad. He played football here, didn't he?
Yeah, I know this guy. Mark Hamlin.
Yep, Mark Hamlin. I know this guy.
He played football at Marist a long time ago, and his son graduated last year. That's where I was visiting. So they got tickets to this party, and I had never been to a party like this, but it was supposed
to be
ESPN.
No one ever invited you to a party?
You didn't go to the prom?
Well, the prom was a little different than an ESPN party, okay?
It's what you make of it. It's what you make of it.
The ex-ambassadors played. That was cool.
Under the sea, whatever you want to. So you're at the party now, and you meet Tim Tebow,
yes.
And you meet Tony Siragusa.
Yes.
All right.
Who are the other famous people at this party?
There were a lot of them. I don't know. There was a lot of really tall
Ryan Gosling?
Baseball players. No, Ryan Gosling wasn't there. There was Larry the Dr. Pepper guy.
Yeah, we've been over that.
Okay, but that's a big deal.
No, hey, look, he is.
Jeff Fisher.
He's got nothing else to do right now.
I can live without him.
There were a lot of people. Mike would have known more than me, quite honestly.
So I would have been in my glory, clearly.
Oh, you would have loved it. Because it was all execs and stuff.
Oh,
so
say no more. Sorry. But the problem is, we asked you a question. We said, we were talking about Tony and Tim, and we said, what was he like? And I think we were just kind of going back and forth, and you said, I wouldn't know. He was so drunk. Well, we thought you were talking about Tim.
I didn't say so drunk. I don't want to get myself in trouble here.
Yeah, just said drunk, obviously. Big difference.
And so we thought you were talking about Tim Tebow.
We did. And we were like, what? We thought we were going to break news here.
We thought we had a story
here. We thought it was going to be like TMZ up in here.
And turns out you were talking about someone else.
Yes,
So Tim Tebow was just as clean cut as he claims to be.
He was very friendly, very polite, took a picture.
Did he say anything inappropriate? Nothing?
No, nothing inappropriate. I mean, you know, he had girls like swarming him. And
oh boy.
I guess I could have been considered one of those in the moment. But you know, when I said hi and I told him my thoughts.
What's his posse look like?
He had a really big dude next to him, I'm assuming was his security guard. And then he had like two friends that just looked like, you know, they were there.
Hanger on.
There
hangers
for a good
on.
Time.
Yeah.
And then they had, so he was in like a corner and they had him, they were like filtering in.
Different girls. They just come in for the handshake.
Like, it was like a meet and greet.
Well,
was
right, getting, but you gotta understand, these girls definitely, I mean, these tickets were like $1,000. So these girls definitely paid $1,000 to go and meet Tim Tebow.
Serious question.
I'm actually going to bet those girls didn't pay $1,000, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, they knew someone who paid $1,000. Yeah.
Somebody, remember, somebody
they
takes those Instagram photos.
Yes. And so
there's somebody taking the photo. Remember that.
So here's a question. here's a question.
Go.
Was he taking phone numbers?
Possibly. He had his phone out. So
It was 2016. Who doesn't have their phone out?
Right,
it's 2017. I got the year wrong.
I mean, I don't doubt it. If he's not going to be there and actually party, he should at least get some numbers.
But, you know, he's got a policy.
Does it? I don't want to talk
He does
about
have
that.
A policy. Some would call it a covenant.
And it's
the Bible.
It's written in
Let's get to the real story.
Widely circulated book.
Did you ask him why he wasn't invited into Mets spring training?
No,
I
didn't want to.
That was
stir
your
the
in.
Pot.
Everyone
else
was talking
stir
about,
the pot.
Everyone was talking about, "Oh, I love you." You could have been like, "Hey, how come you didn't make it?" I mean, you could have been the girl who asked him the tough question. And guys like that, they want to be challenged.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what Tim Tebow wanted to have happen in this moment.
Guys don't like
You're
that
never
going to
be a professional athlete again. I can't believe it. Look, I'm just needling you, Tim. I'm just needling you.
I'm glad that you don't have daughters because you would give them the worst flirting advice. Go ask that guy the really hard questions. He'll love you.
Everything you've ever attempted, you failed at.
That's not true. Did you see that fan he resurrected?
I did see that. And here's
a
fan.
I don't hate Tim Tebow. I like Tim Tebow.
He resurrected like
So a guy at the Mets before he went to the Arizona Fall League when he's at Instructs, there's people watching the game and somebody fainted and Tim Tebow literally went into the stands and put hands on this guy until the paramedics came.
So we're now looking at a Jesus thing.
It's closer than I think we're all comfortable with.
These are strange days. We got British spies and Russian moles in the White House, and we've got an apostle who might actually be an apostle.
So, anything else interesting happen at this part?
Will. So, I did get to spend earlier in the day. I got to spend some time with Bill Hancock, who is the.
We've had him on the show.
You're welcome.
You've had Bill.
We've not had Bill Hancock on the show.
Oh, sorry, that was just me pretending to be Bill Hancock. Sometimes I forget.
Okay. Well, Bill, and then Michael Kelly, who's the COO, and yes. I will say they were awesome. Bill is probably the nicest man I've ever met who works in sports.
Does he have a Southern accent?
Because
I interpreted him to have one.
He gave the award out after the game.
He did.
I was asleep at
like
that point.
A little twang, but nothing.
Sure.
Nothing
That's
crazy.
Fake. So he did, and you were there, of course, through our partnership with the Sports PR Summit.
Yes.
For Brian Berger's Sports Business Radio podcast, and it was great.
Gina.
You saw Gina.
Gina wasn't at the party, but I did.
Well, Gina's she's a hard worker.
She was busy. I think she was busy.
Oh, she
that
worked.
Night,
she's the head of communication for, and I'm on a steering committee with Gina, so we were colleagues.
It was awesome. Literally. I mean, I will say the city of
She
Tampa,
was at the national championship game. You were bowling with children.
But she also works for the national
yes.
championship.
Yes.
She works for the national championship.
Yeah, definitely colleagues.
We are colleagues. Oh, that's fine, because I'm bringing students down to the national championship next year, and you're not going to come.
Can't do the show without me.
Oh, I can do the show without you. Mike will come back.
Can I come?
Sure.
Yes.
Matt will still be here. Jump on a mic.
Yes.
Sorry, Jeff Brawl couldn't make it here. He's covering Marist versus Fairfield.
Oh, that's true. I might have to do that. I will. That's exactly where I'll be.
We're live in Atlanta on the field of the national championship game. Jeff Rawl couldn't make it here. He's down at St. Peter's.
Which is in New Jersey, for those who have no concept.
Although the game has been delayed because of a blizzard.
Or just a leaky roof. I mean, let's face it.
We're here in the Georgia Dome.
Well, sometimes you got to laugh to just keep from crying.
Would that not be the worst feeling ever?
Is that 2017's motto? Like,
wow, it could be.
Got to laugh.
It could be 2017's motto.
Jeff, we got to go. Dabo Sweeney's here.
You know, I will say I went out to the bars at in Tampa nights before.
Hat-tricks. Did you go to Hat-tricks?
I didn't get to go to Hat-tricks.
Hat-tricks my favorite place.
You know, but I heard it's a really hopping place for the Lightning fans. But
yeah.
There were quite a few Alabama football players at the bars.
Are you
before
sure?
Before the game?
Yeah.
How do you know they were Alabama football players?
You know, you can tell.
They were former players.
Former players?
No, they were. I could probably find them right now. I'm not going to, but. That was interesting. Huh. That was.
That could explain a lot.
I mean, look, I've been in Division I athletics. I
understand
how they can, get away from. Yeah,
but
I mean,
the night before the national championship.
Two nights before.
I would think. Two nights.
I think Saban would have them on lockdown. I don't think Saban.
I think that they were probably some unnecessary. But either way, I was a little shocked that they
were they imbibing.
Say that again.
Imbibing,
drinking.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Imbibing means drinking.
Is that a verb?
Yeah. It's a real word.
I've never heard of that. Yeah, they were.
Were any of them on a boat?
We have to go to break.
I know. That was my. I was gonna. She was gonna say no, and then I was gonna segue. I was gonna be like,
no, they weren't. Okay.
They weren't on a boat.
Yeah. Who was on a boat?
Odell Beckham was.
Yes.
Maybe we'll talk about that on the other side of this timeout. A whole other hour of the classroom coming up after this. Fox 12 20 97.3 ESPN Radio. We go to the second hour of the classroom, live from the Marist College Center for Sports Communication. I'm Jeff Braltes, Dr. Keith Strudler, Mike, Anna, Matt. Also hanging out on this Saturday morning, this is your weekly smart look at sports. Being a weekly program, sometimes the schedule just doesn't really work out well for us. All the good stuff this week happened early in the week.
Right.
We had the national championship game, which Keith Strudler and I immediately the next day started complaining about how old we are and can't stay up that late.
Well, I knew this was going to. So I made it, and I tried. So when I know I want to stay up late, I try to stack the deck in my favor. So what I did was I went to go work out from like 7 to 8, because that kind of gets me wide awake. Yeah. All right? Came back, and I'm all ready to roll still by the end of the third. Because these championship games, they're like 7 hours. It's like watching Saigon.
I fell asleep.
Awful. And so at the end of the third quarter, I fell asleep, but I woke up. With 2 minutes left.
I did almost the exact same thing.
Huh. And so I woke up, and then I watched Dabo Sweeney start crying at the end, which I liked. And I got real excited about that whole thing. But, I feel bad in some cases that I missed what I apparently was like the most exciting quarter in the history of
college
football.
Well, the first three quarters were not good football. I mean, it was not a good game for three quarters.
It was two defenses pretty much manhandling offenses.
And apparently the fourth quarter was stellar. Mm-hmm. I saw the very end of it.
Yeah. So I also saw the very end of it. I am obviously surprised at what happened. I would not have guessed that.
No, nor would I have.
I'm still surprised.
I mean, a team scored 21 points against Alabama in the fourth quarter alone.
Why does that? I always wonder why that happens. When you have a team that throughout the course of a season has been so remarkably dominant and unstoppable, then all of a sudden, this is not an unusual circumstance, right? That you have a team that seems literally it happened to New England, and it's unbeatable, literally unbeatable.
I mean, first things first, Clemson is good.
Clemson is
this is not a bad team. This is not a shocking upset.
Let's make the argument Clemson's probably the best team they've seen all season.
It's absolutely true.
Right? Even though they played, obviously, a very good Washington team the week before, and the SEC schedule, say what you want about the SEC, is still a gamut.
But Clemson's a good team, first of all.
Yes, with a great quarterback.
And I think also, some of those catches that were made in the fourth quarter were outrageous catches. And they needed about six of them to be in a position to win that game at the end.
And they got every single one of them.
One of those gets dropped, and Alabama's the national champion, and we're not talking about any of this.
Right.
So that's sometimes your margin. It's that razor thin.
So it was the James Comey kind of situation. You got one thing go the wrong way, yet you'd like to contribute.
Also, Alabama's defense had never been on the field that long.
Very true.
At some point, you get really tired, and
that is true.
Coverages get blown.
Well, if they did more cardio. Did more cardio, they would be less tired.
I mean, over four quarters.
I do find it interesting, though, that only comes up fatigue when you lose. Nobody's ever like, oh, we won despite the fact that we were gassed. No one's ever like, we had nothing left at the end, but the ball just bounced our way. Like, nobody ever uses that when they win. It's just like, we dug deep. And yet when you lose, suddenly it's like, we never were on the field that long.
I've also, I mean, certainly through my experiences in sports, a lot of people are like, if we had only done this, I almost every time I had not performed well or I'd lost or something like that, I have always said, there is no way I could have done any better.
Sure. No, that's, yes.
I think that's the way
that's
to,
what you want. You want to empty the tank.
I was really good at emptying the tank. Unfortunately, that tank usually got me about halfway there.
Yeah.
I'm just, that's just the way it is. But I am, look, I'm still surprised.
Oh, excuse me. Anna and Mike are whispering to each other while looking at Anna's cell phone. Anna, you know that secrets are no fun.
It was about football. It was,
secrets hurt someone.
Well, also interesting fact, those whispers get picked up by the mic.
What are you whispering about over there?
How creepy Ben Boulware looks.
All right.
Oh, okay. He does look a little creepy, but that's fine. But I want my linebackers to look a little creepy. Yeah. I want a creepy-looking linebacker.
How would you feel if your linebacker looked like Ryan Gosling?
I don't think he should be allowed
not
within
good.
100 yards.
I wouldn't feel great about that. Wasn't Ryan Gosling a linebacker? Remember
Women
the Titans?
And children.
No.
Was Ryan Gosling in Remember
no,
the Titans?
No, he wasn't.
He was a cornerback.
Cornerback.
Ryan Gosling? I don't remember.
Absolute liability.
Yeah, he was a liability on the outside.
That's plagiarism. I can't
dust
make.
It.
Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Gosling was Remember the Titans.
He's not a football player. Come on.
He's not an international spy either.
Yes, he could be. Ryan Gosling was in the presidential film.
Ides of March.
Ides of March.
He was great in that.
With Clooney as president.
Yeah.
He grew up in that film.
There's some photos of Ryan Gosling.
He's better looking now. He was good looking.
That's what happens when people grow up.
But no, I want my linebacker.
That's not true of everyone.
Cristiano Ronaldo looked like a goon until. Have you seen Cristiano Ronaldo when he was young?
Fixed. That'll
no.
Ho.
Do people? I don't think that's always the case. That people look better when they. George Clooney was good looking when he was younger.
Well, George Clooney is the pinnacle.
He is. I mean, if you were to construct a David now, he'd be it.
George Clooney's on the list of people you would trade places with. If you could trade places with anyone, George Clooney's on that list.
Yeah.
Anna's now pointing out.
Yeah, it's pictures of Ronaldo.
Yeah, Cristiano Ronaldo.
I don't think he was. I think he was handsome.
Yes.
I like the shot that almost gives him like a military appearance. I like that one. And everyone looks good in a military uniform.
But I want my linebackers to have a little craziness. I want a pretty boy linebacker. I don't.
You want him to be one shade out of.
I think
one
my
foot
problem is the beard. I can't do like the ginger long beards. It looks like you should have. You should own like an old pickup truck and you're living in a trailer that isn't great. Trailer living is bad. I'm considering it. I'm just saying,
Oh, we just went around the way there.
Like, doesn't it just remind you of like one of those CSI episodes where they go find the guy and he walks out and he's got a shotgun and his beard is down to here?
Well, that's not how CSI usually is. CSI's in Miami. CSI's Miami.
Well, also Vegas.
Yeah, but the CSI to me is always Miami.
You know, Vegas was the first one.
I don't care. CSI to me is Miami. That was Caruso. It's all about Miami.
That's
my favorite.
I'm an oldie.
I like Miami. So I'm surprised about the championship game. But now we're moving on to other football. And one of the interesting things, and I actually wrote a column about Dabo Sweeney's comments after the game, one of his more... And what the thing I thought that was interesting was he talked about love so much as being a big part of this victory. And I wrote a lot about that. But I also remembered that you can't take everything that Dabo Sweeney says as gospel. And one of the more interesting things I think that Dabo Sweeney had a couple of years ago was that he'd get out of football if they started paying athletes because there's too much entitlement in this world already.
Uh-huh.
Now, he gets paid $5 million a year.
Uh-huh.
He can be entitled all he wants.
Yeah.
And these kids can't.
That was one of the stupidest comments in recent memory.
It was up there. It was and then he followed that up not that long ago when he was trying to discuss Colin Kaepernick, and he didn't say it. And I know I actually truly believe he didn't mean it, but he certainly inferred that African Americans have it pretty good now. And it was, but I'll tell you what, strategically, if you're coaching Clemson football and you have 70% of your team is African American. And you're recruiting from deep southern states, I don't know that that's exactly the rhetoric you'd like attached to you. But regardless, he did make a statement a couple years ago about how he doesn't want to be involved in college football players being paid. Which brings us to a story that's come out this last couple of weeks about potentially someone who might want to pay 18 to 21-year-olds.
So we've been talking in the classroom about an alternative to major college sports. If you're one of the very small handful of high school athletes that compete at the NFL or in basketball, the NBA level, there should be a place for you to go that isn't college, where you don't get paid. And in football, that's never existed before. Now, Tom Brady's agent is trying to create an alternative. Football leagues, and we're going to see a great documentary, 30 for 30, on the XFL coming out in a couple weeks.
It won't be as good as the USFL, that one. USFL.
I don't know. I think it might be. I mean, you got Vince McMahon in professional wrestling. Like, the XFL was a huge spectacle, and the crash and burn was so quick.
But it was awful.
It was so quick.
It was awful. The XFL was a real league. The USFL was a real league.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I mean, but the XFL, I mean, people, one season. That's it.
And they, I know we need to get back to this. The XFL, the most interesting stat on that was the first game was the highest rated show in the history of Saturday Night Television.
Yes.
And then it went to the lowest rated.
Their rating basically got cut in half every week. It was like 10 million for the first game, and then it went to 5, and then it was like 2, and then negligible.
I actually talked to, because I was at a conference, I talked to an NBC Sports executive like a season after that ended, and I literally was like, what's the deal with the XFL? And he's like, we had nothing to lose. He's like, it cost us nothing.
Yeah.
He's like, we were out of football. We wanted to be in football. If this was great, it's an easy win. If it doesn't, what do we care?
But people forget some of the stuff that came out of the XFL. Skycam came out of the XFL.
Yep.
And then, I mean, it made a huge cultural impact. Like, if you go to a football fan of a certain age and say, he hate me, they know what that's
sure.
That's the running back from the XFL. Rod Smart. I remember the guy's name. He hate me. He became a kick returner for the Eagles. They made him put Smart in the back of his jersey. I didn't care for that. He hate me. But they're trying to start a four-team post-high school pre-NFL professional football league in Southern California. This is not like the XFL or the USFL. They're not trying to compete with the NFL. They're not even really trying to build a big commercial enterprise. They're trying to find a place for elite post-high school talent that could be good enough to go right to the NFL, that is good enough to get paid for their services, and they want to pay players about $50,000 to $60,000 a year to be in this league, and they want to give them a showcase. It's an interesting idea. It's not something that's ever been tried before. Keystroller, do you think it's going to work?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know. At some point, it's going to come down to economics, and I think they'll have to get a couple of blue chips fall into this. Yeah. They're going to have a couple of kids that Texas and Georgia and Florida were looking for to play quarterback. They're going to say, I'm not doing that. A couple running backs are going to say, you know what? I had an offer from USC and from Nebraska, but I'm going here. So the only way I think this succeeds is if in that ESPN 300 you start to see, you know, the San Diego Wranglers pop up. That would make an impact. Now, I will say this. I think there's so many places it can fail, including the NFL putting the kibosh on it. The NFL can make it very, very hard, and the NFL has historically worked with college football to make that kind of a seamless transition.
True, but don't they only do that because college football is the only option? I would think the NFL would like this. I would think especially the NFL would like this if they could get their coaches involved, if they could take some of the young assistants on NFL staffs.
You're thinking like a D-League, right?
A little bit like a D-League.
Interesting. Yeah, perhaps, but the D-League certainly hasn't been successful. Certainly not in juxtaposition to college basketball.
Correct.
And
but
so,
the D-League doesn't function that way. Like it's not...
But I think they could have tried. They could have tried. And I think in some ways, if you're the NFL, aren't you better continuing to bank on the institution that is college football, where not only are your kids getting trained and you hope getting some education, kind of giving them some skill sets, but also being marketed. The marketing that, I mean, look, the NFL draft is spectacular because you know that Clemson quarterback just made himself a celebrity.
Yes.
People are now watching, like, when's he going to get drafted? When's he going to get drafted?
Cleveland. No, have fun in Cleveland.
I don't think he is. I heard he was like a late first rounder.
Cleveland will find a way. Well, I'm not saying Cleveland doesn't trade down, but you know he's going to Cleveland.
They just have to do it. They have to.
It's just the way the universe unfolds, right? I mean, Deshaun Watson goes and suffers a difficult defeat at the hands of Alabama. The next year, he rises to the top of the mountain when nobody said it could be done. The universe doesn't let you go out like that. They're going to bust your butt right back to Cleveland. Just the way the world works.
It's possible. How many Jets fans want him, don't they? Getting back to the issue at hand. I think there's going to be institutional roadblocks that will make this very challenging.
Yes.
I also think one of the reasons that we watch, or in some cases, one of the primary reasons we watch college football is because of the pageantry that comes along with it. And whether it's not that they're getting paid or not getting paid, this kind of myth around amateurism that we all kind of enjoy. Like, there's something that feels special about a college football championship because you look at them as this, like, bunch of kids, right? And we all know we don't even actually really care if they're getting money under the table. That's not what we care about. But we love this idea that, like, he's a chemistry major. Well, no one's a chemistry major. But he's a general studies major. He's a sociology major. I shouldn't say. He's a comm major. So many of them are. And we it's true. You've seen it.
Yeah,
so we kind of like that. I don't know how an 18 to 21-year-old league is going to be able to compete in that landscape. How are they going to be able to get a fan base when they don't have that, when they're really all they're selling is a second-tier sports league? And now it works in Europe. It works for soccer in Europe. They're able to figure it out. I just don't know, particularly if the NFL is not willing to amortize it.
Yeah, the NFL, I think, has to buy in. Setting all that aside, I think, and also putting aside whether you believe college athletes should not be paid, whether you feel they're being exploited, whatever, putting all that aside, let's just look at this from a people perspective. You're going to take an 18-year-old kid who's good at football, great, and you're going to send them out to Southern California, pay them $60,000 a year, and immediately make them a professional athlete. You get so much more out of college than the class, than the sports. You learn how to be an adult. It's like an adult camp. It's like a training camp for adulthood. Yes. For the first time, you're learning how to be on your own and make your own decisions. Learning the consequences of bad
decisions.
This is
how a laundry machine works.
Exactly. No, it's exactly right. Like, there are things you learn in college in sort of an insulated way.
Yes. When you commit a crime, you don't go to jail. You have, like, the campus cops come in and put you in front of a court, and they take away your dining privileges for a week.
It's exactly right. I mean, there are things you learn in college.
You can't park here now.
Outside of the classroom and outside of your athletic experience if you're an athlete, and I think that's important. So now I think if you're going to take these elite, these extraordinarily talented 18-year-olds and take away that support system, because there's a huge difference, a huge difference between how you're treated as a college athlete and how you're treated as a professional athlete.
Oh, look, and some might argue that in some cases our college athletes are too coddled.
They are. They are extraordinarily coddled.
And this is, by the way, and I don't mean to keep coming back to the documentary on Netflix, Last Chance U, but part of the interesting part of that documentary isn't just the football. It's the process by which these young athletes are being, I don't want to say dragged through school, but in some cases
guided
through school. And on the one hand, you understand why and how that's happening, and there's all these institutional reasons for which that situation kind of came to be. On the other hand, you're like, no, you shouldn't have someone call you at your house and tell you have a paper due in 2 hours. And that setup for adulthood, in some cases, is too much. So now the other side of it is just sending a kid out to California.
Exactly right. If that doesn't exist, those kids are going to fail. Well, they're not just going to snap out of it and figure it out on their own.
Don't you think that a league like this can only exist if it's also overseen by some kind of advocacy group? Now, that could come in the form of an Octagon, an IMG, which they're already doing at the high school level.
Sports academy.
It could come. Spike Lee used to be a big advocate for college basketball players. He'd speak at a lot of the camps and the clinics. Someone like that says, you know what? We're going to this is the wrong word, take care of these kids. But we are going to provide them with life guidance.
Well, you provide them basically the college institutional structure.
That's right.
Without the hypocrisy.
And without
the big money hypocrisy.
And without the, you need to take philosophy 112.
Right. Well, that to me is part of the hypocrisy.
I think that's going to be really hard to accomplish.
It's going to be extraordinarily hard.
Oh, very hard.
Because then the problem becomes, and again, this is a big difference between college sports and professional sports. In professional sports, the organization doesn't necessarily care about you as a person because you're getting paid.
Yeah.
Because you're being compensated
to
be there.
It's not their job.
Exactly right. It's not their job to coddle you. It's not their job to call you and make sure you show up to practice. It is quite literally your job. to show up at practice.
By definition.
And so that's why I think, you know, I don't know how that works.
But I do. But don't you think there's going to need to be a third party that gets involved?
I do, because these are 18-year-olds. Yeah. I mean, these are 18-year-old kids who have never, I'm going to imagine, in a great many respects, have never lived on their own before, have never had to make their own decisions, have never had to be responsible for themselves.
But now, I would also say, we're talking about Tom Brady's agent who's thinking about starting mm-hmm. this.
Yep.
Maybe that comes with it, that kind of that third party mechanism. Maybe I would imagine they'd have to build this. We saw this same kind of question come up when Brendan Jennings went over and played
sure.
in Europe.
Yes,
because everyone said, "Yeah, of course you don't need college basketball. Right. Go play." But then you find out you're an 18-year-old in yes. Greece, and
right.
you don't know what you're
well,
doing.
Greece, if you're lucky,
yeah,
yeah, or, hanging out with Azerbaijan if you're not.
Hanging out with a bunch of 25-year-old men.
Right. And again, you learn immediately, because people are like, why don't they all just go to Europe and get paid for a year and then come back? Because you're an 18-year-old kid who's never not lived with your parents, and now all of a sudden you're going to go to Europe. And again, there's no support structure for you there. You are given a paycheck, like anybody who works a job, and it's incumbent on you to accomplish your responsibilities.
Here's the other problem I think that football is going to have, and it's just an inherent sport difference with the NBA. I think in the NBA and with basketball, you can prognosticate a lot with a lot more precision which young athletes are going to become star professionals.
Oh yes.
All right. I mean, you know, you want look these guys know, the agents know. Agents can tell you which kid's going to be a one and done.
We literally have top 300 rankings on eighth graders.
Right. But they know, and but they get it right.
And they're right.
They're
oh, yeah.
right.
Oh, yeah.
So the kids that go to Kentucky, you're like, yep, those are one and done kids. Like, and look, you know basketball coaches really well. We talked to our coach, Mike Maker. He could sit there and say, that's a one and done kid, or that's a four-year college kid. He could tell you.
There's a player in Dutchess County right now who's on varsity as an eighth grader, and it is already known that this kid's going elite D1.
Yeah.
Barring injury, barring external force, this kid's going D1.
But even
like
in elite,
high level D1.
Even in elite level D1, though, my point is, you can actually say that kid's a pro prospect, that kid's not.
You can tell.
You can tell.
Tell almost right away.
Calipari knows. Mm-hmm. Calipari built a system, not where he's bringing in the five best college players, but where he's bringing in the five best, yeah. the five players that are most likely to go to the pros. Yeah.
Now, part
that's
of that,
his ethos.
Part of that, and why the NBA is different than the NFL. There are 18-year-olds that can compete
Absolutely.
In the NBA right now,
and it's a skill game versus the you know kind of a strength game.
Yeah, there's not an 18-year-old on this planet that can compete in the NFL.
So here's the risk I think for this potential developmental league for 18 to 21-year-olds. You don't know if these kids are pro prospects.
You don't
think about the number of kids that go in to play college football that you think are going to be good. And then they're not. They
and
end up.
They think.
I mean,
they
even think about. I'm mean, not
they're
even
not.
That. Think about how many people are elite college football players who can't hack it in the NFL.
Exactly.
It's a totally different game. Totally different.
So
league.
And your kids grow and they have injuries. So the if this league like you could do this, I think you could almost do this for college basketball. So let's say the NBA keeps pushing and they say you got to be 2 years out or 3 years out of high school. There's a window there for that league to exist for basketball because you could literally say those are the five kids. Those kids, half that team's going to be in the NBA.
I'm actually extraordinarily surprised that hasn't happened yet. We talked about this in the show, that doesn't exist yet.
Well, there's only a one-year window, and I think since there's only a one-year window, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
if they go to a two- or three-year window, you might have something different.
Yeah, I just prefer they go to a zero-year window and let the 12 people or whatever a year that think they're good enough to play
the
NBA.
Let the GMs do their job and
let them go figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
And if not, go to college
yeah,
and develop.
I agree with
college is for developing.
I agree with you. And I don't – look, everyone's like, well, college basketball is not as good. I don't care.
No.
I mean, college basketball to me is always good.
Yes.
I don't care if they're – If it's LeBron James, I understand that some of the teams from the 70s had a higher percentage of talent. I get that. And I get that we're never going to get like a LeBron James in his senior year in college. We will never have that anymore. So what? I still watch. It's not like the NCAA tournament is less riveting to me.
Right.
I watch it regardless. It's a different level of talent. On the other hand, athletes are better. So they're more athletic, they're better. So yeah, I understand that, you know, the University of Houston Elvin Hayes' team in the 1960s and 70s had more senior talent. They'd still lose to today's Kentucky team because those kids are more athletic. They just are. And so that whole notion of you got it, you want the kids to stay in college and it's better, but I don't care about that. I just think that football will have a problem when they start bringing in athletes and then 3 years from now they're not They're not NFL prospects.
Yeah, the projection in football is a lot harder than the projection in basketball.
And so I think that is a real risk. And then, you know,
and not to mention, it's all about coaching. I mean, if you're an elite 18-year-old talent and you have an option, you can go and get paid $60,000 a year to go get coached by the quality control guy for the new Los Angeles Chargers in this 14 Pro League with no structure, no whatever
around
you.
Or Nick Saban.
Or Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Or go to Clemson where your team facility has a movie theater, a barber shop, a mini golf course, and
yep.
a water slide
yeah,
in it.
I agree.
You know.
There are, water slide?
Yeah, the new Clemson,
I saw the
Clemson team facility is on. It's just ridiculous.
Is it now? Is Oregon now behind?
Probably. Well, probably.
Because what's interesting, I've been to
they
Clemson.
They won't be for long.
I've been to Clemson, South Carolina. It's not a ton.
No.
So here's my question. I know we got a break. Do you think, like in the off season, they can open up the Clemson locker room for like kids' birthday parties?
So this is an actual petition that was circulated at Clemson. They're building this $50 million football facility, which includes, of course, your locker room and your weight room and a team cafeteria, but also a ton of amenities.
Yes,
a billiards
fun stuff.
Room and an arcade.
Yeah.
And yeah. The faculty at Clemson University circulated a petition that said that building should be open to the entire university.
Oh, God.
That anybody should be able to go and use the mini golf course and the arcade and the movie theater and the whatever. It shouldn't just be a football facility.
That really jams up the system, right? It's really hard if they're like, here, you're just going to have to wait till the chemistry club's done. Since the chess team's finished, we're having the band part. But I think they should open it up to, like, kids' birthday parties. Like, come instead of doing it at the bowling alley, you're doing it at the Clemson University locker room. Juice bar.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about one of the biggest sporting events on the planet, the World Cup. Adding teams are going to a 48-team model. Our resident soccer expert Mike Wallace will weigh in. More of the classroom ahead, Fox 12 20, 97.3 ESPN Radio. Welcome back in the classroom. Jeff Brault, Keith Strudler, Mike, Anna. Ooh, very abrupt ending to our trail music there.
Maybe we're off
Matt's
the
also hanging on. No, we're definitely on. We're definitely on. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning, your weekly smart look at sports.
Anna, did you just eat the apple donut?
There was an apple donut?
Yeah, there was
an
apple
donut.
I said
donut.
That. Did you eat the apple donut? I didn't want it.
Don't talk with your mouth full.
Why did you buy it?
Oh, I was curious. I've eaten them before. Did you like the apple donut?
It's really good. I love the filling. It tastes like pie.
Yes, it's like an apple pie and a donut.
Okay. It smells like autumn.
Fine line between a donut and a pie.
Well, fine line between a donut. I mean, it's a donut a dessert?
Yes. Is a donut a dessert? I'm going to say that it can be. But it's not.
But if
always,
if you were at someone's house and they were like, "Oh, here's what's our dessert? Some donuts."
I've actually been to restaurants where donuts are on the dessert,
but it's almost a shishi kind of thing, like little mini
yes,
donuts,
a little bit.
Like an Italian donut. That's the dessert.
Mm, well, like a pastry,
like a cannoli.
Yeah.
You know what I saw in Adams the other day was just a tub of cannoli cream, and I thought Rob Duffy would eat that.
And I got very excited about the tub
have
of cream.
Cannoli chips that you can dip
yeah,
in the cream.
It's really good.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You just get these fried cannoli chips.
Yeah,
they're
like
big,
little triangles.
And you get a little tub of the cannoli cream with the chocolate chips and just shove that down your fat pie hole.
No. Yeah.
Just watch it go right into your arteries.
I wouldn't say you eat healthy. You just eat vegetarian.
I know. I'm not saying that.
You don't eat healthy at
all. I'm not. I'm just saying. So
don't act
no,
like
I'm
all
just,
high and mighty.
No, I'm just saying. You're just going to sit there and shove that lard down your fat face.
Yeah, why wouldn't
that's
you?
How,
life is
that's
short.
That's how eating works.
Life is short. Why not eat things that make you happy?
I'm all with that. It's just a tough. I feel like that's over the line. Like, why? At that
How's
point,
that over
why
the
not
line?
Just
the line?
Why not just take a tub of butter and just start licking it?
You ever been to a county fair?
Yeah.
Actually, you eat less of. You don't have to eat a whole cannoli. You just have one.
Oh, I guarantee you.
Moderation.
You're right. I guarantee you. You're not
let's
stopping.
Let's ask Anna to finish the bite of donut before grabbing
yes.
the microphone.
Yeah, so let's talk about moderation. How many
you're
donuts is that, Anna?
Cannoli.
How many donuts is that? Two. And they both had filling. You went for the two heaviest donuts.
Granted, she did scoop out a bunch of the filling from the first
one. Two heaviest donuts
in the box.
In the box. That was half the weight of the box. So don't tell me about moderation. And there's no way that you're eating less cannoli when you're eating it from a vat. That's never how it works. That's why they do portion control. Weight Watchers doesn't just say, here, take a tub of teriyaki chicken. Eat as much as you want.
Here's how you know.
That's not how Oprah talks.
Here's how
I eat as much as I want.
Here's how you know you have a problem. This is how you know you've got a problem.
I love bread.
When your food is delivered in a tub, you have a problem. Food on a plate, not in a tub.
I'm just saying, there's no one that eats, that buys in bulk so they can eat less of it. No one's like, you know what, give me the 20 chicken McNuggets. I'll just take my own portion. No. This is how portion control works. They give you a small portion, and you're never happy. You want the whole thing. So you buy the tub of cannoli cream and the chips to go with it, and you make your own coronary. I mean.
Have you ever been happy?
I'm happy right now.
What makes Keith Strother happy?
Famous people. Meeting famous people. I'm going to be real happy on February 6th when I'm hanging out with James Brown. I guarantee you.
Here's a big thing that happened in the world of sports this week. I don't have a segue. The world.
Oh, I got one.
Oh, yeah, hit me.
Well, it's your job to put it together, but.
Of course it is.
Okay, so.
Cannolis,
Italian.
I know, and they play soccer in
Infantino,
Italy. It's not a real
FIFA. That's absolutely a connection.
Well, the president,
you could have done
the
that.
FIFA's in. All right.
Okay.
Switzerland. But
he's Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Switzerland, of course, borders on Italy.
That's also true.
Although
so does Slovenia.
Yeah.
Home country of future First Lady Melania Trump. Character
could be in Italy.
In the upcoming movie.
What's that?
Movie could be in Italy.
Movie could be in
there
Italy.
Could be. You know what? Going back, for those of you who have been listening the entire, our James Bond, a.k.a. American Politics movie.
Christopher Steele. Right.
I think you're right. But I feel like, what part of Italy? Because is this one where they're going through the canals of Venice, or is it they're up in the mountains in Italy?
Ooh, it could be either. Could be both. I like, personally, I think he's got to be in, like, historic, you know.
You like that. So they're in Rome, and like they're going through the Colosseum.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because if it's in the mountains, you kind of lose the fact that it's in Italy.
Yeah, you can just be anywhere.
Maybe
yeah.
Tuscany. Maybe it's wine country.
Yeah, wine country.
Go through Florence. I like that a little bit. But I there's always something about Venice, because
yeah.
people fall in the water.
Dude, sure, yeah. The canals, the bridges.
They
don't have
like real roads.
Yeah, there's a little slant. And then, because then he's not only in a Vespa, he ends up on a motorboat at some point.
Or even just a paddle boat.
Yeah.
Just the, you know, the gondola. Paddle boat.
That's where he and Emma Stone fall in love.
Emma Stone, I don't know if Emma Stone's going to be in this
movie. Yeah, I don't know if Emma Stone's in this movie.
Oh, man.
Anyway, World Cup expanding. It's expanding. The World Cup. I think, can we all agree? The World Cup?
I like how you're looking for details on this right now.
The World Cup, most popular sporting event on the planet. I think it's got to be.
The Olympics probably still is.
Oh, I think the World Cup's more popular than the Olympics.
I don't think it is.
I think the World Cup.
I think
is
more there's
popular.
More viewers for the.
You're taking what? All of it together?
Yes.
I don't know about
well,
that.
Well, no, I'm,
I don't
no,
know.
No, I'm
I
just taking
people,
archery.
No,
I'm just,
I bet more people watch the World Cup than watch the Olympics.
No, I'm going
to. I'd like to know this.
I'm
I'd like to know these numbers. If
as far
it all
as
possible.
Numbers go, I think the World Cup of cricket might be up there. Too.
I don't think this is one of those things where we should all be like, I think we can look this up.
Yes, we can. I'd be very curious to know these numbers.
Mike, Anna, could you please figure out
global viewership of the Olympics and global viewership of the World Cup?
Yes, and obviously, I think the in person will probably be Olympics just because the. Well, there's a lot of.
I don't care about the in person. I mean, that's limited to the capacity.
What's more
of
popular? So let's get one more popular: World Cup or the Olympics.
They each come around every 4 years.
I think it's the Olympics.
I'm sticking with FIFA because there's a lot the Olympics that most people don't care about.
Yeah, but it's just such a vast. It's a big thing, and it's endless. You know, you have track, you got swimming.
Okay,
I mean,
ESPN reported that it was the most watched match in U.S. history.
But that's a single. That's not. No.
Okay, 2014 FIFA World Cup reached 3.2 billion viewers.
Boy,
1
that's
billion watched the final.
That's
now,
a lot.
I will point out the fact that
3.2 billion people. There's only 7 billion people on the planet.
Not taking in mobile usage, so you never really know.
No, that probably is. That probably is. Give it to me again.
They can't
do that. 3.2 billion
viewers.
And by the way, and the
basically
mobile,
half the planet.
And the mobile numbers, I've seen mobile numbers are a fraction of the TV numbers right now. I know we I know everyone loves to talk about mobile. It's coming, but still mobile is a fraction.
Yeah, we forget here in our privileged ivory tower how many people don't have smartphones.
But beyond that, I mean, how many people are actually like, you know, let's watch the World Cup. We could go to our big 40-inch screen. But I know you're not that big. Or I could sit there and watch this on a subway. So, I mean, you know, most people are going to go to a screen. But I mean, the mobile numbers are growing. But take that away. What was my total number of viewers for the World Cup? Not the final, but the whole thing.
3.2 billion.
All right, I want to know how many.
There's no way the Olympics reached 3.2 billion.
Yes, there is.
I got it. I'd be shocked. That's half the planet.
$3.6
billion. Oh, no!
Wait, cite the source.
CBS.
CBS, read it. What's it say?
What are you going to say, fake news?
According to Olympics.org, the London 2012
Olympics.org
was broadcast in over 220 territories with 3.6 billion viewers.
That's B with the B. That's a 3.6. I got
3.5.
Four. Either way.
We're getting closer to 3.2. Rounding errors are in play now. This is within the margin of error.
We've got at least 300,000 more viewers. At least 300,000 more viewers for the Olympics than we do for the World Cup.
I hate to break it to you when you're talking in billions.
Oh, 300 million.
The point is not.
300 million. I'm sorry. Yeah. At least. Sorry, I forgot we were in the billions. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. It's half the planet.
It's hard to think of the rounding error as 300 million people. As the population of the United States. It's hard to think of that as the rounding error.
The point here is a lot of people watch the World Cup.
Oh, I feel good about that win. I knew. I was confident. That was one. If that was in a, like I was doing Deal or No Deal. Not Deal or No Deal. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
That was the 2012 Olympics versus the 2014 World Cup?
10 World Cup.
What was the 2014 World Cup?
I was looking at 2014.
Yeah,
2014. So your numbers are going to be less the earlier you go because you have more channels, more options. So I need to know the Olympics of the most recent one.
That
was the 2012 London.
Well, 2016, you're going to have more.
No, you're going to have less. Ratings are steadily declining.
Oh, you're going to get more.
No, you're going to have less. There's more options now.
I get 2016. Give me. No. These were watched. These were highly watched. Highly watched.
Well, we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Well, trust me. I've got this one in the bag.
Ratings were way higher back when there were only four channels.
Well, just 2012, there weren't four channels.
Well, there weren't as many as there are now.
I think there were. Anna, can you give me the number? You don't have to carry the mic.
I'm in the process, but it says that right now Rio only had an average of 27.5 million during prime time.
That's prime time American viewership. Yeah, yeah. No, we don't care.
Yeah.
I want to know about all the people in Sub-Saharan.
Exactly.
Am I going to have to do this myself?
No. Can you relax?
While they look,
yeah.
Let's talk about the changes to the World Cup. They're going to 48 teams. 48. That is a significant change.
Now, how many were before?
32.
32.
Now, why is that significant?
Well, 48 is a larger number than 32.
Here we go.
Uh-huh.
Rio Olympics worldwide audience.
Yes.
Top 3. What was mine?
I got 2.7 billion.
No.
Oh!
No, that's not right. That's
2.7
not,
billion.
That's not right.
Billion.
That's not right.
Okay, well, what do you have?
Top 3.5.
3.5. What's your source?
Hollywood Reporter.
And Anna. That's a fine source. And Anna. Okay, also the Hollywood.
That's not right.
So we'll have to average 2.7 and 3.5.
No, we're not going to average.
We're
going to
average them together.
No, we're not. We're going to get the actual number.
I see 3.5 now, too.
Yes. Okay. We're going to get the actual number. I'm at Forbes.
Does Nielsen just have, like, a...
This is what Nielsen does.
So, yeah.
You have to pay for that service, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So 48 teams.
48 teams. So what we've learned here...
We're not... This is... Look... Nothing matters now until we get the number. And you know you're on the losing side of history on this one. And that's why you're trying to move on.
No, it's close.
And this is our new segment, Bad Radio.
I actually think people – it's pretty riveting.
Right? I think people
– right now are thinking, is it the World Cup or
Well,
I'll
tell you this. Yeah. Let me tell you what.
I mean, the bad radio part is the long pauses to look up the answer.
Let me tell you this. And I this is actually true. My therapist said he loves it when we argue on the air.
Well,
I love it when we argue on the air.
He must enjoy the majority of this program.
Now, he probably also likes it because it means I'm coming back for business. Jeff yelled at me last week on the show. He said I wasn't very smart.
I'm in your kitchen. But you asked why the World Cup going to 48 teams is a big deal. It's going to change the entire structure of the tournament. Instead of four team groups, they're going to three team groups, 16 groups of three. That's really kind of the only thing that I don't like about the change. I'm okay.
I got 3.6 billion
for the 2016
Rio. Yeah.
Well, I'm now going to need more numbers on the last World Cup just to make sure that they're correct. Oh, wait. What do you think it is, Anna?
I'm getting that there's no actual number. Like the 3.5 billion is only coming from Hollywood Reporter. That's the only.
No, I've seen 3.6.
Where?
Just around.
But don't confuse it because they got a TV rating of 3.6.
No, this is billions. I know the difference in a rating.
I'm just saying, make sure you're looking.
I've been in this business for a while. I know the difference in a ratings point. I know it.
With the data inconclusive.
It's not inconclusive.
All that we can do is agree that both the Olympics and the World Cup are watched by significant numbers of people. That's all we can do.
It's not all we can do. We can concede that I was correct on this.
I can't do that because we do not have data.
All right, here's let me I am willing to push this right now and not make you concede the defeat. But I am coming in next week with an army of lawyers and data. It's going to look like that last Trump press conference where I've got manila folders.
You know those papers were blank, right?
I don't care. I'm coming in. If I come in with conclusive evidence, and we will start the show next week. I don't care if we have new interns or not. The big story. And we're going to put the screen, the graphic, Oliver is going to build. And we're going to show that more people have watched the Olympics versus the World Cup. Now, if I'm proven wrong, if I do thy data research and I find the other, we'll post that too. If it is found that I'm correct, will you then concede that I was correct?
Of course I will.
All right.
Oh, yes, I will. Stakes on this?
Oh, but no, Jeff won't bet on this because he knows he's about to lose this one. Here's what I'd like, but Jeff won't agree to it. The loser will have to, during a show, sit with an entire tub of cannoli cream and eat the whole tub.
I actually don't like cannolis. I don't like cannolis.
No, the one I saw at Adams was a big tub. No, this was a family size situation.
Yeah, you can get a little portion controlled.
No, this was not. That was my point. Oh, I have a picture. I took a picture.
Only in your world is like a punishment for losing a bet having dessert. It'd be like the loser.
It's a pound.
Have an ice cream.
It's a pound of cannoli cream.
That's a lot of cannoli cream.
I took that picture.
$5.40. It's a good price. It seems like a good price for that quantity of cannoli cream.
Price.
It's a good price. Mike Wallace, as a soccer fan, how do you feel about the World Cup going to 48 teams?
I don't like it.
Keeping in mind, we now have about 3 minutes for this entire.
Yeah. All right. So. So I, the thing is, I'm not excited for the UAE versus Burkina Faso.
No? See, that's actually what I am excited for.
Really?
I love that.
I don't want to see the 17-0 Germany versus Gabon game.
I actually also want to see that, too.
Why?
It interests me. Because Gabon getting beaten by 17 to Germany will be the greatest sporting event in the history of that nation. The fact they're even on the same field with Germany, it's unbelievable.
I don't care about what that nation thinks. One time.
It'll probably happen once every 500 years.
There'll be a push.
Someone's going to win, or someone's going to tie.
No, what's going to happen is Gabon will score quickly, early on it, and then they will play defensive soccer.
It's going to happen. I mean,
soccer is one of those sports where you can have that happen.
I mean, it's going to happen about once every 500 matches, but it's going to happen, and it's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, it's not the NFL where you.
What I don't like about it is the three-team groups, because it brings in a very, very real possibility that the third match can or maybe even will be fixed, because both teams that are playing in the third match are probably going to be able to negotiate a draw to get both teams through. That scenario is going to exist where one team's either already going to be in, and so they can lose, they can rest everybody, they can, you know, quote unquote, throw their match, or it could be a scenario where both teams get in if there's a draw, and both teams will probably consent to the draw. That's what I like about having the three-team groups.
Well, actually, Gianni Infantino, the president of FIFA, he proposed penalty shootouts in the group stage to avoid draws.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to do something like that. Yeah. I think the penalty shootout to determine the most important soccer tournament on the planet, I don't like it. My thoughts on sports overtimes, all of them, is the only correct overtime is to continue playing the game under the same rules for a set amount of time.
Why?
Because that's how games should be decided. But why in the world are you going to play a soccer game and then decide who the winner is based on who kicks the best
because
from
it will
15 yards
it
out?
It forces the issue.
Yeah, I understand that, but why not just play for another 20 minutes?
But what if they still don't score?
Play for another 20 minutes.
What if they still don't score?
Play for another 20 minutes.
What if they still don't score?
Keep going.
What
now you've got the greatest sporting event in history. You've got literally dying on the pitch.
Okay, then why, how about this? How about if we're going to go that? How about just throw a lion on the field in the middle of the game?
No.
Don't
do that either.
Don't
keep
do that.
Playing soccer.
I'm with
keep
Jeff
playing.
On that.
That's not. It doesn't work in football. There's too much risk for injury. And there's, by the way, risk for injury in soccer as well.
I'm aware. There's
risk
keep
for injury
playing.
In everything.
So why? Well, not everything.
Okay.
There's not risk.
I don't have sympathy for professional athletes, professional high-level sportsmen being asked to decide a crucial game by playing more sports. I understand they're going to get tired. They're going to get worn down. There's a risk of injury. I understand that exists. There's also risk of injury in the first minute of the first game. Now, yes, there's more as you get fatigued and whatnot, and it happens. But both teams are playing the same amount of time.
You know why
I get
you say this?
Like, I get it.
You know why you say this? Because you've never been an athlete.
But penalty kicks are stupid.
Never.
They're a stupid way.
They're not.
To decide these things.
They're not.
Shootouts are a stupid way to decide who wins a hockey game.
I love watching them, and so do the fans. I and the rest of the fans.
But it doesn't accurately
determine
who the best team is.
So what? It if those are the rules, it determines which team was able to win the game based on the rule system in place.
Shouldn't be the rules.
Why not? Because we like them. I like them.
No, they're not good.
They're good for me.
Do you like regular soccer? Why even play the regular game? Why not just have a shootout? Why not just have a shootout if you like them so much? Think about how quickly we could end these things.
Why don't you just marry it if you like it? I mean, that's the stupidest thing you've ever said. That doesn't make sense.
It's the stupidest thing you've ever said. I love sports. I love football. And now the way I want it to be decided by every team getting a ball at the 25-yard line and exchanging possessions.
I like 60 minutes of football, and then when it's over, I like that.
So you only like so much of it.
That just like I only like so much cannoli cream.
So you think that baseball games should be decided by a home run derby after 12 innings?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, actually, that'd
that
be a lot
That is a great
fun.
Idea. Where are we going with this?
You're onto something
with
that one.
Oh, boy. I think we just solved a huge problem. Yes, I think shootouts are riveting. And you, two things. One is you are a purist beyond a recognition that this is actually theater. It's not – this is not there's nothing beyond that. It's a show. And that makes for a great show.
Not for the people that are playing in it.
I don't care about them.
I know you don't care about anybody but yourself.
Strudless therapist, if you're listening, good luck this week.
I got a Wednesday this week.
3.5 was an estimate.
Can't talk.
It was an estimate.
It was an estimate. We can't trust the numbers.
We're going to get the – oh, yes. You're right. I'm sure they're off by 300 million people.
They could be. On the margin of error.
What do you think? This is the presidential election? They're not going to be off that far. They're not going to be off that far. So we'll get the trust me, you'll be apologizing next week while you're sucking down your cannoli cream.
No, first of all, not eating the cannoli cream. Second of all, I wouldn't apologize. I would just concede that as the information came in, more people watched the Olympics and watched the World Cup.
No. You're going to have to say you're wrong.
No, I'm not. I'm going to have to concede that more people watch the World or the Olympics than
you're
the World
Cup. You're going to have to say you're wrong because you just said that.
I wasn't wrong. I didn't die on that hill. I said I think more people watch the World Cup than the Olympics. And then you're going to be like, nope, turns out more people watch the Olympics than the World Cup. And I'm going to go, turns out that's true.
But the part you're not willing to say is, turns out I was wrong.
I wasn't wrong. I wasn't wrong.
Crazy?
I had a thought. And then some data came in and it proved that thought to be incorrect.
Incorrect means wrong, right?
No, I had a thought. I had a hypothesis.
Oh, my God.
And that hypothesis
this is like when I
was
tested. When I beat someone in an eating contest once, he refused to say, I quit. He sat actually on a toilet while someone was giving him an ankle rub. True story. And said, I capitulate. Because he couldn't say, I quit. You win. All right, we got to go to break.
When we come back, we got grades of the week. Stay tuned. More of the Classroom Ahead. Fox 2097.3 ESPN Radio. We are running out of time in the classroom, and as much as we'd like to go immediately to grades of the week and play our wonderful segment intro, we don't have our computer here. The interns didn't do their job. So, Mike Wallace, it's time for grades of the week.
This is ground control, the Major Tom.
Just you really just sounds like
grade
you're saying
of the week.
Okay, that's probably good.
That's probably not.
We'll take that. Explosion. Yes, in the classroom, long-standing tradition, if you're the reason why we can't have our show elements, you have to sing the. Okay, grades of the week. Johnny Manziel, what's he up to these days? He's going to be in Houston for the Super Bowl. He's not playing. He's signing autographs, though, and you can get a selfie with him. Anna has a selfie with Tim Tebow. Okay. Did you pay for that selfie, Anna, or was that a free selfie?
It was free.
Free selfie. If you want one with Johnny Manziel, 50 bones.
50?
Keith Strudler, great idea of paying $50 for a selfie with Johnny Football.
I hate it. I hate people that I don't like it. I understand why they do it. I can't stand it when people who've made a ton of money then go on the autograph tour. And let me tell you what. I don't mind people that say
Johnny Manziel's made a ton of money.
I know.
And if he's made a ton of money, I don't think he has a ton.
I agree. But I don't I don't like it. I don't actually mind the guys that say I'm never going to sign. I'll never sign. Yeah, I don't mind the guys that when the little kid comes over and be like, "Can you sign?" I'd be like, "Get scram, kid." Like out of a 60s movie. I don't mind that either. I don't like it, though, when they fleece the public. I don't. I've never liked it.
I mean, is it really fleecing if they pay it willingly?
Yes.
I mean, nobody's forcing anyone to give Johnny Manziel $50.
I understand there's not some heavy on the side being like, here's what's going to happen. You're going to reach into your pocket. You're going to pull out a $50 bill. You're going to hand it over to my good friend Johnny. You're going to stand there with your selfie stick. You're going to smile. He's going to smile. He's going to put his arm around you. You're going to take a picture, and then you're going to walk away and not tell anyone about what just happened.
Real quick with a grade, we can move on, please.
Give it a C.
It's a good audition for the movie, though.
I give it a C.
How would you feel if somebody paid that $50 in pennies?
I saw this!
Because this week in Virginia, a man named Nick Stafford, who had been fighting with the Department of Motor Vehicles, decided to pay a $2,987 tax bill in pennies.
I saw it. And he had been having his argument with them forever and ever. Anyone who's ever been to the DMV or a tax bureau and had to fight bureaucracy, only then to be like, we'd love to help you, but in on your driver's license, it has your middle name. Like, anyone who's been through that, I'm sorry, you're supposed to have form CA, not CB. Good for him. I love it. I give him an A+. You, sir, are America.
It's all the time we've got in the classroom this morning. Thanks to Anna, Mike, and Matt for coming in on their mid-year break, their Christmas break, to help us produce this
holiday
program.
Holiday weekend.
Thanks to the Obama administration for being the only president we've ever known. We will see you next week, 10 a.m. to noon, here on Fox 12 20 97.3 for our first ever show during the Donald Trump administration, parentheses probably, close parentheses. We'll be live streaming. We'll be up in our new studio. You can catch the live stream. Keep tuned to our Twitter account at ESPN_classroom. For Dr. Keith Strudler, I'm Jeff Brawl. Thanks for hanging out for your weekly Smart Look at Sports. We'll see you next week. Class is dismissed.